Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, November 13th at 5:37 p.m. Pacific, 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a KPFA listener rep and the chair of this committee. And we're going to start off by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, call the roll, if you would.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Marcus Jetter. Campbell Johnson. Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
And that's it. One, two, three. We have seven. That's a quorum.
Okay, terrific. And I guess it's worth saying for the stream that Alex Steinberg and Marcus Jetter told us that they would not be able to be with us tonight. Okay, so with that, we're going to move to looking at our draft agenda. Our draft agenda is pretty straightforward, but I'll just go over it quickly for the stream and anyone that's not in front of a computer. Basically, we're going to take a look at our back minutes. We're going to do a brief report back from the group of three, which was sort of an unofficial subcommittee that met with Brian DeShazer from the archives to do a little bit of question and answer from the earlier meeting where the committee had some questions and Brian wasn't there to answer them. He was unable to be with us here for the Finance Committee call because the Pacifica Archives fundraiser began today, and everyone listening should be donating to the Archives fundraiser, please. It's a wonderful cause. So he was unable to participate, so in order to accommodate him, we had a sort of a question and answer session last week. So that's just a long explanation of that. Then we'll be looking at the Archives budget, number five, and then we're just going to do a check-in on two of the items that have been floating forever through this elongated budget process. One is a pending financial transparency policy. The other is an event accounting policy. We're not going to act on either one tonight, but we're just going to talk about where they're at and what needs to happen next. So that's what I had as a draft. Does anybody want to move to approve or make any modifications?
Well, I'll move to approve if nobody has anything else.
Any objections to approving? Woohoo, we're done. Okay, so with that, we have a couple of sets of minutes to approve, and I'm going to hand it off to the Secretary, R. Paul, to kind of take us through that.
Okay, give me a second while I make a note that we're approving the minutes in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, this part is a lot. Okay. What we have are the outstanding minutes are the minutes from the meetings of September 25th, October 23rd, and November 4th. And so I guess I'll move to approve the September 25th minutes.
Okay, those were sent out today. I saw them. I think you sent out two sets of minutes today, or did you send out all three of these?
Oh, no. Let's see. The September 25th ones have been up there since October 30th.
Okay. So you sent out the two more recent ones today?
No, I sent out only the one recent one yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Two of them are up there from October 30th. One of them is up there from yesterday.
Okay. Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve September 25th or to modify it in any way?
I made a motion to approve September 25th.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. It's approved. That will move us on to set number two.
Getting tangled up in my. I have to put the telephone down in order to type in that. All right. I'll move to approve the October 23rd minutes.
Are there any objections? Okay, those minutes are hereby approved, and that will take us to set number three.
Okay, and unless somebody else wants to, I'll move to approve the November 4th minutes.
Are there any objections? Those minutes are hereby approved. Okay, that was nice and easy. Thank you, Arpal.
Okay.
And I'll just put a reminder in that we have to go back and resuscitate those one or possibly two sets of mixed minutes from earlier in the year before the committee disbands at the end of December or whenever we disband. Okay. With that, I think it's we're pretty much going to move into the archives. I gave an explanation during the agenda period about the telephone meeting with Brian DeShazer. Basically, Bill Crozier was there, Kim Kaufman was there, and I was there. And basically what we did is just carry over the most of the questions that had been pending from the first attempt at the archive budget. I sent out a zip file earlier this afternoon, which contains all of the archive budget materials. One of those items is called Budget Narrative .x. And if you take a look at it, it's basically written answers to most of the questions that came up during the original archive review. So we'll talk it through a bit, but that said, you do have written copies of the answers to all of those questions. It was mostly a set of questions from Bill that we had assembled and written down. I think, as I recall, there's about 15 of them or so. And you have the answers one by one. And we also talked it through on that call. Bill or Kim, do you have anything to kind of... Well, there's a couple other things that I actually want to say about it. So let me do that first. Brian introduced two sort of overarching concerns in addition to the specific line-by-line questions on the budget, and he did want me to sort of just reiterate them. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I don't think they're necessarily within the province of this committee to be able to solve, but I do think it's worth sort of expressing what he would say if he were here, because and he can't be here. The first is, fairly straightforward. It's the issue of the difference between the shared services that one budgets with and the shared services that one sometimes gets due to cash flow shortages and fund drives that come up short and so on, and the difficulties that causes the archives in being able to budget responsibly. They have a pretty good track record of not spending more than they receive no matter what. But he certainly expressed the difficulty that somehow causes, and really a desire that because the archives amounts are not so large, and it's certainly been a priority of the organization to save our audio heritage. It's important, and it is the one entity in the organization that is currently being consistently funded by outside entities. So clearly, its value is clear. And that if we could, prioritize a more reliable cash flow for the archives, it would be good. So that was point number one. Point number two was basically with regards to KPFA and its, its current unwillingness to use the duplicating services from the archives, which are provided to all of the stations for recording events and sound. He's not quite sure what the problem is. It's not a cost problem. So the question becomes sort of why KPFA is going its own way in this particular thing. He felt there were some serious disadvantages. And what he wanted me to express is that, you know, the archives is set up to do this. It's been performing this function well for the rest of the stations. And he would like a little bit more communication about what, if anything, the problem is and why we are not, shall we say, practicing economies of scale and doing things consistently throughout the network. Again, I don't think that's entirely the province of this committee, but he wanted it expressed, so I'm expressing it. And I certainly think that at a minimum, he'd like to have some more dialogue with KPFA management, so perhaps Barbara can facilitate that. Okay. So that said, before we start going line by line, why don't Kim or Bill, do you have anything to add about the meeting that you think I left out? Sorry.
Who's Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just in summary, I think the pretty good explanations to the questions we had, and so, you know, I didn't see any concerns really that were still outstanding.
This Kim? Is Kim.
Mm-hmm.
The only comment I would add is that he pointed out, and I don't remember how he laid it out, that it is actually cheaper for this to be done through the duplicating done through mm-hmm. the archives than by the station.
Right. That was the argument that he was...
In that way, it's under the purview of the Finance Committee, you know, to at least be aware of this issue.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, we could certainly, agenda it for some further discussion in the future. I think that if we had that discussion, we would probably need Brian to be here in order to give us all the details. So that may be something that we want to do at some point in the future, maybe next month.
Still, can I have one more comment?
Yeah, I'm open to that if the committee wants to take it on as, you know, something that we want to work on. Yeah, Ken.
But just a point of information. Does that document, the third one, describe what that situation? I see it in there. The whole thing,
no,
is it describing it?
No, those were verbal comments that were made on the call and that Brian expressed that he wanted sort of, you know, that he would have said these things on the call tonight if he had been able to come to the call. So I said, I would paraphrase what he said and repeat
it. Okay, the point of information I wanted to know is how long a period of time that's been going on and what is the yearly dollar amount? In other words,
right.
This is a service, in-house service, where PRA
right.
bills back to KPFA. So
Brian said
$20 or $20,000.
I gotcha. What Brian said was that when he provided a fourth quarter departmental report to the PNB, as all of the divisions were asked to do, that he wrote about this in some length and with some specifics, including numbers. And that was submitted to the PNB in July or August, along with all the other fourth quarter reports. And I remember that he did that, and we had some discussion of it then, but nothing conclusive. So you can probably either find that report or you could ask him for a copy.
Okay.
But he did take action at that time.
Okay.
Was there someone else besides Ken who wanted to talk that I didn't hear?
It was Bill.
Bill, I forgot one other thing I was going to mention.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You mentioned this also, but it's really hard for them to predict the income, not knowing what, you know, the stations, if they're really paying their central services income. And just a reminder is that you can't tell from looking at the expense document, the income and expense, what's paid and what isn't, because you know, the expenses are accrued, the interstation transfers are accrued, even if they're not paid. So, and that's been a real problem because several stations have really not paid their PRA central services amounts to them. And I thought they were paying the PRA, but maybe just not the national office. But it's really affected PRA also. So it's really hard for them to plan.
Yep. Okay. Well, that covers the paraphrase stuff. If people are at computers, they can open up the budgetnarrative.docx document if they want. But I think what I'm going to do is just verbally run through these fairly quickly and what Brian's answers were. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just sort of summarize. And this should be most of the questions that came up during our call. If there's anything that doesn't seem to have been covered, you know, bring it up at the end and we'll see if we can get an answer. In terms of looking at the actual budget, there are two Excel documents that were enclosed, FY 2013 PRA budget template, which is the document that we were basically working from the first time that we looked at the archives budget, and FY 2012, which has the budget and actuals from last year. So you can compare them. You just can't compare them side by side. You have to flip back and forth between the two documents. Okay, so going to the narrative. Okay, quickly. So we had a question about GL code 5000, which is the listener support revenue, which had dropped from 2012 to 2013. And the reason for that is that that number is likely to adjust if, in fact, the stations dedicate one actual day to the archives from their station spring drives, which may or may not happen. That decision hasn't been 100% made. It was made on a preliminary basis, but it's not finalized for the spring. So that would be something that would be added on when it was finalized. It was $71,000 last year, and the hope would be for something similar this year, but since it isn't finalized, it's not in the budget. Okay. On the shared services income, Brian did find a tiny mistake on my part. It's related to the KPFK budget, which some of you will remember had an awful lot of stuff going on with it. And one thing that happened is that when we did some slight adjustments to listener revenue, I did not calculate for PRA correctly. So Brian discovered an error of $2,164. The KPFK budget is showing $77,164 to the archives, and it should be $75,000. And I think that had to do with the website income that we moved around. So apologies on that, and we will be repairing it in the consolidated budget. And, Kim, that's an extra $2,164 for KPFK's teensy tiny surplus. Okay, GL code 5001, a brief drop in donations. What he basically said is, you know, these are sort of random gifts. They're hard to predict, but they've been adjusted slightly back to the 2012 actuals, which he felt was as good a guess as he could make at this point in time, and that amount is $3,500. Okay. The next question was about GL code 5015, which was about sales to stations. There is an increase from 2012. We talked about those amounts, which are as follows: $5,743 from KPFA, $20,000 from KPFK, $5,365 from KPFT, $24,996 from WBAI, and $21,260 from WPFW. So as you can see, they kind of run the gamut. What came out about that was that these are the amounts that were in the station budgets that were approved, so they are fixed. There was certainly a push on some parts to really ask stations to try to use the archives premium. We certainly want to promote our own heritage and the work that we've done, and B, it, you know, keeps the money in-house, which is great. So a number of the stations, specifically the East Coast stations, apparently made a fairly serious commitment to up their archives usage, and we discussed a little whether those anticipated numbers were accurate or not, because we don't know. In the case of the East Coast stations, they were, you know, fairly large increases. But, you know, both of those GMs had reported that they really wanted to try, that they thought it was important, and they thought that they could meet these numbers. So the way that it kind of came down is that, you know, we're aware that there might be some optimism in the numbers, but we want to encourage positive effort. And Brian is going to try with the development committee to put together a couple of webinar-type things for programmers, specifically targeting those stations, but anybody in the network who might be interested, maybe a sort of a tutorial from a couple of programmers who've had success with Archives Premium about, you know, here's how I pitch Archive Premiums, and this is what seems to work, and this is what doesn't work, and a little bit of, you know, brainstorming about how to have the success level that everybody wants to have. So I think that's pretty much that. Next item. GL code 6300, there was a drop in consultant expenses. That is because there are two part-time archivists who are coming on the payroll, and therefore the payments to the consultant, to the preservation consultant, Addie Gevins, I guess I can say her name, will be somewhat less than they were in 2012. If some of the grants that the archives has applied for come through, then there will probably be more consultant expenses, but of course those will be more income. And that will come out of that grant money. Okay, account 6530, drop in professional legal fees. That was basically an adjustment to actual. A bit more was budgeted in, well, a lot more was budgeted in 2012 than was spent. The 2012 actuals were 203, and I think it was budgeted at like $1,000. So this year the budget is 500, and that's a drop from the 2012 budget, but it's not really a drop from the 2012 actuals. Nobody sees the archives, which is wonderful, and hopefully that will continue. Okay, GL code 6570, increase in bank charges. Again, that appears to be related to the actuals. The actuals in 2012 were 2178. It was apparently a little under budgeted in 2012, and so the 2013 budget is 2190. So it's basically tracking to the 2012 actual. Brian thought that that might have been a little bit of category, you know, misaligned categories going on. Bank charges is one of those things that sometimes picks up and drops different kinds of bank charges. Okay, GL code 6635, increase in storage rental. The storage company increased the rent, and there have been some donations and acquisitions. So the on-site storage unit is way full, and they may have to take on another storage unit. Apparently they've got four, and they may have to move up to five. The FY 2012 actuals were $11,690, which was a bit over budget. They are budgeting $11,700 this year. Okay, GL code 6665, drop in computer maintenance. FY 2012, they spent $1,358. They are doing FY 2013 at $3,000, which is a little higher than they had originally projected. Brian said he sat down and thought about it and due to the age of the computers and the projected maintenance and repair, he thought they probably should go up to $3,000. So that's what they've done in this draft of the budget. GL code 6680, there was a drop in maintenance and technical. It's being budgeted FY 2013 at $1,000. In FY 2012, they didn't spend too much. In FY 2011, which was the number that we were comparing to at the previous meeting, they had new tape machines that needed lots and lots of maintenance, and they don't need – and they're not using those. Well, they've learned how to use those tape machines now, so those expenses will not repeat. Okay, increase in website expenses. It is budgeted at FY 2013 for $3,000. That's considerably more than was spent in FY 2012 when they spent about $1,000. The reason for that is that they migrated their database website over to Drupal as a CMS. And since it's a brand new website, there will be a certain amount of time and work to make it functional and presentable. It's working pretty well, but there's a whole lot of features that they want to add. And, you know, having a state-of-the-art website for the archives is good. GL code 6699, eliminating tapes, restoration. Brian said this was a grant project line for restricted expenses based on the restoration grants. They have two pending. They don't know if they're coming through. If they do come through, then this item will change in response to the grant. And it's usually a wash. If there were expenses added in this line, there would be grant revenue that would be paying those expenses. And he says it's usually 100% because the grant is very specifically for restoration work. So almost all of the expenses are basically wash through. So it should not have a significant impact on their bottom line. Almost done. Okay, GL code 6700 is an increase in tapes and supplies. FY 13, that's going to be 10,200. It went up substantially between 2011 and 2012 from 7,000 to 13,361. And in FY 2013, they're going to drop it a bit. They're not projecting quite as many sales as they were hoping for in 2012. Basically, the tape supplies cost is pretty related to sales. So if, in fact, they spend more on tapes and supplies, it's likely that they got more sales to merit needing more stuff. As he also wanted to say, they also have some inventory this year, so they should be able to apply that to spending less in 2013. Okay, how many more do we have? One, two, three, four. Okay, there's six more of these, so hang in. GL code 6576, drop in credit card fees. The credit card fees, he said, are a formula based on listener support income. The reason that it dropped is that the listener support income is projected as less than it was in 2012. And again, part of the reason is that we don't know yet whether there's going to be an extra day of fundraising for the archives in the spring as there was in 2012. If there is, then the listener support number would go up and the credit card fees would go up proportionally. But that's not in the budget at this point because it hasn't been finalized. Okay, 6740. Increase in subscriptions supplies. Brian said basically that was a mistake that shouldn't have been there and that he took it out and relocated it to account 6760, which is promotions and advertising, which we will talk about. Okay, GL code 6750, drop in premiums, other vendors. The FY 2012s were actuals. In 2011, they did purchase some premiums from external vendors for the PRA fund drive. They didn't do that in 2012, and they're not doing that in 2013 during the fund drive that's going on right now. Okay, 6752, drop in premium packing and shipping, same thing. Projected sales are less, and they are also producing more products on small jump drives rather than multiple CDs. The postage cost for the flash drives are smaller than those for the CDs because of weight. Okay, 6771. Hang on one sec. I lost my place. This is the last one. Okay. Drop in direct mail expense. In 2011, they did an ad in Mother Jones magazine. There was some expense for artwork for the ad. It didn't really come to anything, so they're not planning to do that again. And in theory, this line also covers direct mail, caging, postage, printing. If they were to do that, and PRA is not planning to do any direct mail on its own behalf in FY 2013, they are planning to try to do, to have an increased social media presence instead. And we talked a bit about Brian's social media plan and also a bit about the complications with archives direct mail, which are basically coordination problems because the stations are doing mailers and the national office is doing mailers. And between all of that, it's kind of hard for the archives to fit in there. And it also becomes a question of basically targeting the same set of donors over and over and over again. And how many times can you hit? So they're going to try some other things. And so they're not spending money on direct mail this year. So that's pretty much it. So if anyone has any follow-up questions on any of that or any concerns about the archives budget that were not addressed, now is the time.
Paul?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. The main thing I want to say is that for me, in opening it up in open office, FY12 is all blanks.
Good.
And so I mean, I have the FY13 projections, but FY12 is blanks, just an FYI right there. It's there for everybody else?
I actually have it open in Excel. I have both open office and Excel, and for some reason I opened it in Excel. And in Excel, it's fine. I could try opening it in open office and see if I get the same result.
Is anybody else looking at it in open office or anything else?
I'm using this, Bill. I'm using LibreOffice, and it opens okay in that area. LibreOffice, you know, is a successor to OpenOffice because they haven't supported OpenOffice anymore in the last year or so, I don't think.
Actually, well, okay, we will get into that part. But okay, I'll try LibreOffice too then on this one. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to open it up in OpenOffice too and see what happens. But okay. Anybody else? Wow. Well, as Bill said, we thought that Brian pretty much had an answer for everything that we asked. That kind of made sense. That was, I think, the assessment. Well, Bill's already said that he thought so, and I think so, too. And it doesn't sound like Kim disagrees. Okay. I mean, do people want to review this budget in more detail, or are they sort of ready to pass it on to the PNB at this point? That's the question.
It sounds like it's ready to pass on.
Okay. I didn't want to rush anyone, but that's good. Okay, then I guess what we need is a motion to...
One question?
Oh, okay. Great.
Go ahead. Are there shared services from the stations?
Can you say that a bit louder? You're a little hard to hear.
How realistic are the shared services from the individual stations?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any fluff in there where are they just going to cut staff if it doesn't come through?
What they have done in the past is they've adjusted their budget. The archives is almost never shown an operating deficit, and they're owed some money. So they do have a record of being able to adjust and being realistic about when adjustments are called for. In terms of the track record last year, WPFW paid very little, if anything, to the archives, and WBAI was better this year on the current. They owe a substantial amount of money from the past, and at this point in time, it does not look good for the immediate future at all. So both of those shared services contributions may or may not be real. That said, probably the solution to that is the planned spring extra day of fundraising for the archives, which we did do in 2012, did work, and generated $71,000 in income for the archives, which more than covers those missing shared services. So theoretically, they do have a fallback position. However, we are hoping that both of those stations will be current on their archives payments this year, as we're hoping they'll be current on their central services. PFW may be in a better position to stabilize right now than WBAI. As we know, they can't move into Wall Street. They can't move back to Wall Street. They've lost their studio. They're broadcasting temporarily from an inadequate space. They're probably going to have to find a temporary space. And with all that chaos, obviously their fund drive went out the window. So, realistically, they've got problems. Does that answer that?
Yeah.
I don't see any reason that the other stations would not pay their shared services to the archives.
Bill for the stack.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, Brian's been pretty good about, not spending more than any revenue that comes in, of course. And so, it's a good point, though. That was one of the things we asked him about was, what happens if some of the stations don't provide the central services and, they have revenue that they're budgeting. He's not running up deficits. So I don't think it's that big a deal. But it really does impact his operations, though, if any of the stations don't make the central services payments that they're supposed to. So we should encourage all our stations to do that.
Indeed. Okay. Anything else on the archives budget?
R. Paul Fast.
Yes, go ahead.
Getting back to what I said, I just opened it in LibreOffice, and it's not showing here either. So maybe what's happened is I need to upgrade my stuff, and the wonderful people at Microsoft may have changed Excel again. That might be it. But let me also say, WBAI, as far as we know, did pay its PRA in FY12. It was the other parts that may have been, paid up all that much. But I think for – it may also have been for FY11 that we were told we had paid all or substantial of the PRA. And we are told that 120 Wall Street will open tomorrow. What that means,
really?
AI, we're not sure, because people were on the air, and eyewitness reports tell me there was a loud thunk when all the lights went out. So there may be electrical problems in the station.
Oh, dear.
There was some station equipment, but they'll start finding out sometime tomorrow.
You mean the lights were going out today?
No. When the
originally,
when the superstorm hit,
yeah,
okay. I don't know if it was a combination of the salt water shorting out all the electrical, or if it was that plus the transformers in front of the building exploding, which there were the transformers are in the ground in that part of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them put there by Edison himself, by the way. They exploded. Numbers of them right around BAI exploded. So it's, that makes for other issues. The main issue for BAI is what happened? Did the circuit breakers go off and save everything in time?
Mm-hmm.
Did the electrical stuff for BAI get harmed? Did equipment per se get harmed? So they'll know tomorrow at some point, I suppose.
Okay, well, to the extent possible, if they could send out, I know Berthold occasionally sends out those status reports. I think a lot of us would like to know.
Oh, I have a couple of those. I'll send those to the group, yeah.
That'd be great. All right, cool. All right. Would someone like to make a motion to recommend this budget onto the PNB?
Yes, Jim, I recommend that the 2013 PRA budget be approved and sent to the PNB.
Okay. Our Paul, you got that?
Hold on a second. Okay, that the FY13 PRA budget, let's see, that should be the draft. FY13 PRA budget be approved. Was there something right after that word, approved?
And submitted?
As submitted.
To the PMB.
Okay, so I guess the motion is the draft 2013 PRA budget is approved and will be submitted to the PNB.
Okay, that the draft FY13 PRA budget be approved as submitted and forwarded to the PNB. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good. Got it.
Okay. Are there any objections to that motion? Okay, hereby adopted. All right, so we're making good time. I think all that we really have left to do tonight is just do some check-ins on a couple of our hanging items. Which were? We had a financial transparency policy. I wrote a draft. I brought it to this committee. Both Ken and Kim made some modifications to it. Not all the modifications agreed, so there's a process of taking all three of those documents and kind of swooshing them into one. And for many months prior to the budgets, we had been trying to get a subcommittee together to do that. And for various reasons, subcommittee, which was Campbell and Marcus and myself and LaVarne and I think Kim, was totally unable to meet. I'm sure that we scheduled at least three meetings and none of them worked out. So at this point in time, the need is still there, and I think we have the time to work on it now. And the task is sort of exactly the same, but we need a different committee because that committee just couldn't get it together. So at this point, I'm going to ask for volunteers. We are going to have some dialogue with Summer, I think, because this does involve the NO to some degree. But basically, we're going to need two or three people to get together and work on these documents. So are there any volunteers? I don't think it will be a million meetings. It will probably be one, and it might even be two.
This is Kim. I mean, I'll volunteer. I forget totally what it's about, but that's fine.
I still have all the documents. They haven't gone anywhere.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll all come back to me.
And it's all about sort of levels of financial data, and you know what the policy is about who can see what and who can distribute what and how far they can distribute it. Because we're always having conversations about that, and people have different versions of what they think the past practices have been. And there was some confusion. Marcus brought it up. Campbell brought it up. Other people brought it up. And, you know, it happens over and over and over again. John Wanger's had some issues with this. And so we just kind of wanted to kind of standardize things. And the original draft, you know, had some good things and some things that people didn't like. So it's basically a question of bringing in Ken's feedback and Kim's feedback and whatever feedback the NO has and then whatever feedback the whole committee has. So we get to something we can all work with. So who wants to be on the committee besides Kim? I think we should have one more person.
Are you going to move here?
There's really no volunteers.
Are you going to meet in the evenings or phone calls during the day?
I think that we could do either. I'm reasonably flexible. Obviously, Summer's on the job, and I think Kim is reasonably flexible, so we could do it either way.
Okay, I'll
What's on. Better for you, Jim?
Oh, gosh.
In other words, you can't get out of it by answering that question.
During the day is better for me if I can get a couple of days' notice.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely better for me, too, because my nights fill up with this nonsense. So I'm all in favor. And Kim, you can usually do like a 3 or 4 o'clock meeting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, later in the afternoon is best for me, too.
Okay. All right. Then Jim will be our third, and we will try to come back with you. I don't know if it's reasonable for the 27th, but certainly by early December with a draft on that. Good. Yay. Okay. Next item, and this is sort of a question for Ken. It's regarding sort of how we do the financial accounting for the events. And we had questions that came out of events in Los Angeles, and this has come up at other stations, too, that sometimes it's not clear, you know, what the expenses were for a particular event, what were the revenues that came in, and how is that flowing through the books. It's been a little confusing for all kinds of reasons. So we were trying to sort of create both a policy and a form that would sort of filled out as a standard and would sort of, you know, notch down exactly what the revenue and expenses are to for each event that a station has. It's over a certain amount of money. So it's not a question. And if there's any questions about how it's playing out in the books, you can pull this thing and have the real numbers. So we had a draft policy and we have a draft form. We looked at it as a committee and felt like it sort of required a little more fussing with, but nobody ever did the extra fussing. So I guess the question that I'm asking is, Ken, do you still want to move this forward because it's your motion and your form? And if so, do we want to do it as a subcommittee or do we just want to talk it over as a group at the next meeting?
It was my action? Okay, yeah. I don't think if it's my action, I don't think we need a subcommittee. We just do it in the next meeting. I'll try to dig it up. Could you send it? Do you have the stuff archived somewhere? Do you have it? Could you distribute it to
the committee? That I was very careful to save the financial transparency stuff. I'm not sure I was quite as careful with the event accounting stuff, but I'm hoping that I can dig it up.
Okay, so either one of us will send it out, and we'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting. That's what I would prefer.
Okay. Anybody strongly disagree with that?
Good.
Done. Okay. Well, unless anybody else has something to add, and I shouldn't even say that, but I'll say it. This will be one of the fastest. I knew somebody would have something to add, but that said, this might be one of the fastest finance committee meetings in history. Okay, well, let's do Bill followed by Kim.
But you need to confirm when their next meeting or meetings are.
Okay, we'll do that before we break. Kim?
I thought one of these issues or motions had to do with the other issue that I was hoping to address, which is the how to account for grants and that kind of thing.
You know, we did talk about that at some point.
Yeah, it's a real issue with Kay.
Okay, let's put it on the agenda for next time. I think probably, that, like you said, there's a specific issue at Kay, and I think there may be issues at some of the other stations, too, and maybe we can sort of all compare experiences and come up with, you know, what the problems are.
Well, we have two different, you know, issues with that.
Okay, so let's put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Now that we're pretty much done with the budgets, we have time to, you know, take the stuff up again over the next two, which is good. I guess the other question I have is, did we make a decision that we wanted to talk a little about the archives duplication stuff, or did we decide that we don't want to talk about that?
I don't think we decided. I'm not sure what our options are in terms of I'd like to talk about it, and then I will perhaps could make a motion, one of two things. One, to, from the Finance Committee, ask KPFA about it? Or perhaps Barbara can find out some information and get back to us. I don't know. Is this something we can do? Does Barbara feel comfortable with this?
Well, if I'm... Go ahead.
No, I
don't know. Tracy, shall I answer?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I'm not quite sure what the jurisdictional stuff is, but I also want to be respectful of the fact that Brian, you know, brought it up as a matter of concern. And I don't know. I mean, Kim has a point that it might be within our jurisdiction, at least on a recommending level, but I'm not sure. So,
well, let's ask Barbara how she feels, since, you know, if I were the treasurer, I might know a little bit about it.
Well, I didn't say anything when you were all discussing it earlier, but I was taking notes, and there has been discussion about it in the station that I'm not privy to, you know, whatever the bottom line was, but I know it's a discussed topic sometimes. And basically, I think it's a management thing, that the management in the two at PRA and at KPFA need to talk about why it's not satisfying to Brian and what the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think it's our jurisdiction. Now, the idea about it being cheaper for PRA to do it, if that's what you're all saying, it sounds like it. I'm not so sure that's true. And in fact, I have a feeling that it's cheaper for people at KPFA to do it, and that's why they're doing it. But I'm not really up on all of their reasons. I haven't been in on all the discussions, but that was the feeling that I'm getting from it. And I didn't speak up because that's a very incomplete picture, is what I want to say.
Right.
Who's Ken?
Okay. Just let me say one thing, and then I'll give it over to you, Ken. I mean, my sense of it is that basically there's a communications breakdown of some kind, and there's version, and there's Brian's version, and he is frustrated, and he doesn't feel that the communication has been satisfying. And then there's certainly, and basically he's saying that, you know, to some degree the communication has broken down at this point. And there's the KPFA perception, which is obviously that they think it's in their interest to do what they're doing, and they want to keep on doing it. So I think there's an extent that Barbara's right that, A, you know, we don't know which, you know, the entire fullness of each of those perspectives, but there is a problem. So it becomes a question of whether, you know, we play a role in doing some research and making some recommendations, which I think jurisdictionally is all that we can do, or whether we don't. And that's sort of what we have to decide. And we don't have to decide it tonight either. We could let it hang till the next meeting. But just from an agenda point of view, either it's on the agenda or it's not. Ken.
I'm pretty sure I recall from a previous in-person PNB meeting that Brian made a statement that he's not getting all of the broadcast material uploaded to PRA. And the mechanics there are a little confusing to some of us, because the stations archive rate the broadcasts for 90 days, but somehow PRA gets a hold of it, and I think they filed the legal copyright for Pacifica. Mm-hmm. I think most of us are in mystery about what's going on. I do want to point out that when you say they, I don't believe KPFA is a they. There's somebody at KPFA who made a decision.
Well, it's not more than one person making the decision.
Well, there may be two or three people that are closely associated who made a decision, but it was not a decision that was approved by a legal body, even the LSB. It was a decision by somebody, a GM or a PD or a broadcaster, or somebody decided to stop sending content up to PRA. Maybe they want to hold it so they can copyright it. So this is a little bit stronger than just the cost of duplications,
mm-hmm.
because all of material that's broadcast over Pacifica belongs to Pacifica. And it's really not, and that's a key issue that we should, if that's, you know, I mean, I'm negligent in not addressing it when I first heard about it directly. But perhaps Barbara could get some more of the detail on that for our next meeting.
Okay, so I'm going to make a process suggestion, which is, it sounds like at least a couple of people are interested in talking about it. I don't know exactly what protocol we would follow. This is a little bit like the solar canopy in the sense that we'll have to kind of come up with a process if we're actually going to do something. But I think it's worth having a conversation about it. So let's put it on the agenda for next time, and we'll talk a little bit about whether there is a process that we all feel good about. And if anyone between now and the 27th can gather a little more information, I think that would be helpful. I don't think we're at the point where we want anybody else on a call or anything like that yet. But, you know, if you can casually gather any additional information, anybody on the committee, feel free. And, you know, we'll talk about whether there's something further that we want to do and what that might look like as a process. So that's what I'll put on the agenda. And it's basically just a check-in. Or we may decide that it's, then we're not going to pay any attention to it. I don't know. Okay.
I'm a little puzzled by the way you framed that, Tracy, because I was, the first thing I thought of was asking people in the station who were making this decision to be on the call for that discussion. And I can understand we should maybe look at the topic before we do that. But then you went on to say anybody on the committee researching it, how is that going to work? What does that mean? You're inviting everybody on the finance committee to do what?
Nothing. Some of us are on the PNB and we'll probably go dig up Brian's old report on the matter in order to inform ourselves. And presumably, I may talk to KPFA management. I'm not sure, but don't talk to them that frequently, and I'm not sure that I will by the 27th. If I do, I'll ask about it. And you had said that you would ask about it. So we will come on the 27th with a bit more information to work with. I don't think we're ready to have other people on the call. I think that we may end up next week talking about doing that and how to do it, but I don't think we're quite ready yet to do that. I think we have to have an idea, you know, what the process is, what's the purpose of the call.
Whether or not it's really our business.
All those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Kim to the stack.
Yeah, Kim.
And Bill?
Yeah, you were first, Bill, but
go ahead, Bill. Kim. I don't care.
Well, just a quick suggestion. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Kim. It's okay.
I would just say that I do think it's premature to have anybody else on there. I mean, if Barbara can just get sort of basic information for us to decide then whether we should or should not pursue it further, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kind of an issue it is. So,
I agree. Bill.
That's kind of what I was going to suggest, is that Barbara can give us some, like, what does it cost them to duplicate the CDs there at KPFA? That would be nice to know, because I've heard that it does cost more than what.
It costs more at KPFA than at PRA, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but it would be nice if you could check on that and find out for us.
Well, what I do know that I can say now is that there was a time when they were sent out to be duplicated. And the people distributing the premiums have stopped doing that. They don't send them out. And I don't know when that started, but that was the point at which it began costing KPFA less. And that's what they do now.
Okay, well, if you could advise us again, you know, what they do, how much it costs, and I guess also the question about the content and its preservation that Ken brought up, I think then we'd have more information than we have now, and that would be good. And those of us on the PNB can go back and review what Brian wrote and have it.
Okay, it stopped. God, that was awful. Okay.
Who's smoke alarm? Are you all right?
Well, New York is here. Sounded,
anybody?
Sounded like the end of a 1960s movie I won't mention.
Oh, hideous. Does anybody know who was responsible for that? My God.
Maybe somebody's cell phone had a problem.
Are we all still here?
Yeah.
Jim's alive. Bill,
okay.
Me.
Not me.
R. Paul. Kim,
everybody
Ken,
else
was
is...
that you? Aha.
Well, you? Wasn't me. I heard
what?
It.
I don't know. Weird. All right, whatever. Okay, so I think that gets next week's agenda under control. We will be doing the consolidated budget, which I don't know if the NO can put it together or if I'm going to have to do it, but we'll get it done by the 27th somehow. And that should be fairly pro forma. And we'll have these other items on the agenda. And if anything else comes up between now and then, just send an email to National Finance Committee and we'll add it on. And our next meeting, if I have this correctly, is June 27th. And it doesn't
June 27th?
I think that would be November.
I think it would be November 27th.
You need a vacation, Tracy. You're thinking of summer.
Kim,
looking at it
Kim.
Now, it was blithering about June. That's what it was. I'm
Kim
sorry.
Kim Kustak.
Efficiently multiplying. Yeah. Let me take a look at the calendar and just make sure we're good for the 27th.
Can I
yeah.
say something more? Oh, okay.
Let me finish with the meeting and then yes.
Well,
so that would be our regular semi-monthly fourth Tuesday. The PNB is meeting on the 29th, so we'll be kicking over both the archives, which I will do in the next day or two, and then the consolidated for approval. And that should be it for the next meeting. And then we will do our usual December schedule. Let me just take a look. So,
we may need to adjust our December meeting dates. Our second meeting then is scheduled for December 25th. I suspect we may have low attendance.
Let's have one and call it a day.
Let's do this. Let's meet on December 11th as scheduled. And if we are able to get through all of our business, which I think is distinctly possible, then we will be fine until January. And if for some reason something is hanging that we think is important, it looks like the 18th is not taken. So we could move our scheduled meeting from the 25th to the 18th, or we could cancel it as needed. Is that okay?
Good.
Probably has
all right.
to be.
Okay with me.
Yep, and then after that we have January 8th. Which will likely be our final meeting as a committee.
Okay, so we have the 27th, we have the 11th, and that's it for December right now.
Maybe right. the 18th.
The
Actually,
18th is tentative, and then we do have a final meeting scheduled on January 8th.
Although there is a possibility there will be different treasurers at that point. So
right.
it'll be a hybrid between this NFC and the next NFC. Maybe.
Why don't we just have an open house?
That's correct, but until the PNB turns over, the committee remains constituted. And I would say for the purposes of the 8th, we could probably manage with both the old treasurers and the new treasurers attending or something like that. You know, that's workable.
This is Kim for the staff, whatever.
And then if things go well, the full PNB will be convening later in the month and they will reconstitute the committee at that time. Yes, Kim.
I dropped off the phone. I have phone issues. And I did want to just say, because I wanted to, when you were talking about, like, well, Brian said it costs this and Barbara said it costs that, I mean, these are, because this is the Finance Committee, I would like to see that stuff in writing. I mean, that's the way we can decide which side makes more sense. So
yeah.
that would be my objective of information that I would like to see somehow.
I think that would certainly be part of any process. If I'm remembering Brian's report to the PNB, there was stuff in writing, but I'm doing this from memory, so maybe I forgot exactly what it said. I have to dig it up and look at it.
Right. But that's why, you know, I'd like to see the KPFA side.
I think it would be good to get as much in writing as we can. That's always good. So, Barbara, if you could write
just
down whatever information you can get, that'd be great. Okay, cool. All right, so we'll see what happens with that next time. So have a good 2 weeks, everybody, and we'll meet again on the 27th.
Okay. All right, well, have a good
Thank you all.
Thanksgiving and everything, everybody.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, happy holidays.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. Bye.